Father, we thank you for this sixth and final session on our series of goal setting. I pray that you would help us to have revelation knowledge that goes beyond just what I can say. Lord, help me to say it as I ought to say it, but I think perhaps more importantly, help us to hear it as we ought to hear it. Lord, I pray that this would be life-changing material, that we would learn to move to the next level and go after God's best. I want everyone to say this out loud. Holy Spirit, I grant you permission to challenge my thinking, change my mind, move me to higher ground. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to begin in just a moment in verse 18. I want you to write this title down. We've been in a series for a number of weeks, in fact, six Sunday morning sessions, on what we've called supernatural goal setting. Supernatural goal setting. Today's message in particular is entitled Moving to the Next Level. Moving to the Next Level. I shared some of this material some time ago in a Wednesday night service, and I felt impressed to include it in this series because we've been teaching on blending the super and the natural. And I've kind of made a little play on words there. Supernatural is God's super plus what? Your natural. And we've made a big point of that, that so many times people get over into the Spirit-filled camp and it's kind of like they turn their brain off. You need to understand that God wants to work through your brain. God wants to work through your mind, your thinking. God, in fact, wants to transform your mind and your thinking to think like He does. And God wants to work through your hands. And so it's not all God, nor is it all you. It's God and you working together. And we said that that's super and the natural, supernatural working together. We've covered a lot of material. The tapes are in the foyer, but you remember we talked about God's tree of success. Do you remember that out of Psalm chapter 1? We drew the little tree and put things to it. We talked about core values for success. We've been teaching on Nehemiah the goal setter. I've taught you very practically on how to develop plans of action. All of that should be building up to this thought. Don't miss this. All of that should be building up to this thought. God has a higher level for you. I said, God has a higher level for you. And He wants to move you to the next level. Well, what do we mean by moving you to the next level? Well, it could be a new spiritual dimension of your walk where you're just walking closer to the Lord. It could be regarding housing. Maybe you've been a renter for years and years and God says, you know what, I want to move you to a new level and purchase a house. And we gave you a very practical plan of action on that. It could be a business. It could be a ministry. I don't know how the Holy Spirit will apply this to your life, but I honestly believe this. There's always going to be a new level until Jesus comes. I said, until Jesus comes, there's always going to be a new level in your life. And for those who are staying fresh in the Lord, those who desire to move forward in the Lord, they're always going to be pressing in and saying, Lord, I'm not going to just be settling for second best mentality. I want to do God's will for my life. So before we read this passage, let me ask you this question. I already know the answer because you wouldn't be here. How many of you want the next level in your life? Do you really? How many of you want the next level in your life? Let me just mention two things before we look at this that Joyce Meyer said. I love Joyce Meyer. That woman is a preaching, teaching machine. Hallelujah. She said this, and I wrote some of this down in some tapes I listened to, and she was saying it in a different way, but really, as I would apply it, she was talking about going to the next level. Number one, I think this is worth you writing down. She says you have to give up to go up. Do you still want the new level? You got to give up to go up. It's like somebody walks from the church. Pastor, I'm here to serve. Pastor, I want to be used by God. I feel the anointing. I feel the glory on my body. I'm ready, Pastor. And you say, all right, I need you to come here 1 hour early and help us straighten up chairs. I'm not sure that's my ministry. Well, if you want to go up in the Spirit, you got to give up your personal right to not be here an hour early. See what I'm saying? So leadership in its proper understanding is leaders don't go up by stepping on people in the kingdom of God. Leaders go up by serving. So you got to go down. Some of you just blinked. I just saw that little look on your face like, say that again. If you want to go up, you got to go down. So things are reversed in the kingdom, aren't they? So you got to give up in order to go up. Number two, she said this in another tape set that I wrote down regarding this. She says, new levels, bigger devils. Oh, man. Do you still want to go up? New levels, bigger devils. I don't know if you can think back in your life where you've ever made a daring step. You started a business or you bought a home or whatever it might have been. You decided to go to that school or make application. And I'm telling you what, as soon as you got into it, you just ran into a herd of devils. Hallelujah. I mean, those spiritual powers are there to resist you, talk you out of it, try to put you back. And you might remember back in some of your early days, like, man, if I had known this. Well, I'm glad God doesn't tell us all about that, or none of us ever moved to the next level. Amen. You have to give up to go up, new levels, bigger devils. All right, with that backdrop, Isaiah 43, go to verse 18. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. This is your verse, prophetically, I believe, by the Spirit. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Can you say amen? You're never going to have God's best if you dwell in the past. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. And I want you to circle this little question, shall you not know it? That's a question that God's asking us. Shall you not know it? Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In other words, it seems impossible. You don't get rivers in the desert and a way in the desert, because when the sand blows, it covers up all tracks. You can't find your way in the desert unless you've got a Holy Ghost GPS system. Amen. Showing you where to go. So it seems impossible, but God says, I'm the God of the impossible. Shall you not know it? You think about this in your life. Every time that I have moved to the next level, whatever that might have been in my life, it's always been preceded by an inner knowing that something's up. My spirit was way ahead of my brain. In other words, I sensed it. I felt the drawing, I felt the stirring, you could say it a number of ways. I felt the witness, I felt the anointing kind of stirring around on the inside of me. Kind of a Holy Ghost dissatisfaction was growing on me. It was like I knew that there was something getting ready to happen just ahead, and my spirit could sense it like on radar, but my mind maybe didn't know all the details. Now, if you're ever going to move to the next level, put this in your own shorthand somehow, you've got to be sensitive to the Spirit. I'm convinced there's a lot of people where God begins to draw them and woo them and try to move them to the next level, but they don't know it. Only those people who are walking in a close union and communion and fellowship, abiding with Jesus, are in a position to feel and sense and know that stirring on the inside so that they can be in a position to move with it. He says, shall you not know it? Look at the next verse. I think the next verse is quite interesting too. Verse 20 says, the beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert to give drink. Underline this. Here you are, to my people, my chosen. It's almost as if he's saying, I'll even work through the forces of nature. I'll even get the animal kingdom, the agricultural kingdom. I can work through all avenues to get to you, my chosen. But your job is, you're going to have to do verse 18, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. You're going to have to change the way you think. So I want you to write this down. The very first thing is you got to change the way you think. And we're going to be elaborating on that this morning. You know, when we talk about goal setting, we talk about blending the super and the natural and planning. And we're not talking about planning just in of your own self. We've been talking about planning in submission to God and His will for your life. The whole point should be to move us to the next level that God has for us. I want you to think about this thought. If all you do today is what you did yesterday, think about this. If all you do today is what you did yesterday, then guess what? All you'll achieve today is what you had yesterday. Well, I'm just not happy with where I'm at. I want things to change. Well, then start thinking different and start acting different. Because if all you do today is what you did yesterday, then all you're going to have today is what you had yesterday. The only way to move forward is you've got to change your perspective, have a paradigm shift, start thinking different, start daring to do something out of the ordinary so that you can break out of the bonds of the past and move forward in what God has you in. I want to give you three levels that people tend to live on. Man, when I heard these, I said, ouch. When I heard these, I said, that is so true. We could pretty well summarize all people, and I'm including Christians, on three levels. Number one, most people begin at the coasting level. Coasting level. What do we mean by the coasting level? They're just satisfied with status quo, the past. And here's how they talk. People on the coasting level, they always talk about how it used to be. Oh, I tell you, something back there at those believers' conventions, they were awesome. And some of the old-timers, you know, oh, I'm telling you what, back in the CFO camps, ooh, that's when the anointing. Back in the old days. We don't have it like we had in the old days. They're on the coasting level. Number two, the second one, and put 90% because 90% of the people get stuck in this one, the comfort level. The comfort level. And here's how the people that are comfortable tend to think. What is the minimum I need to do to get by? Pastor, tell me, what's the minimum I need to do to make heaven? Well, the minimum you need to do is think different. Because you're already thinking wrong. What's the minimum I need to do to get by? You know where God wants to take us? How many of you want to break out of those two levels and go to the level God wants you to have? Write this one down, number three. Are you ready? You're going to feel it as soon as I say it. You're going to have a Holy Spirit rush come in your body. Write this down. Number three, the commitment level. Oh, did you feel it? That word just does something to you, doesn't it? Commitment. Did you sense it? What is the commitment level? It means that you're committed to do what God wants you to do regardless. You're not singing the praises of the past. You're not looking for the minimum to get by. You're saying, God, show me what to do, and I don't care how much it costs, I'm going to do it. Amen. Amen. You don't have to feel led anymore. Now, I know you like feeling led. The problem is, some Christians got led in their britches. Oh, yes, they do. They feel led all the time. Can't get them to go to church. Can't tithe. Can't forgive. Can't release anybody. Just don't feel led. When are you ever going to feel led? Well, I don't know because I've never felt it. Led Christians. We need committed Christians. Now, I'm kind of playing with you. I love to sense the presence of the Lord in worship. Like this morning, I'm telling you what, that song, that just went all over the congregation. And we move with that, and that was in the divine order of the Lord. There's times I feel the very presence of God. There's times I don't. To be honest with you. And I'm a preacher. There's times I don't feel like getting up and going to my own meeting. And I'm the guest speaker. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's like that old guy was laying in bed. He says, I'm not getting out of bed and I'm not going to church. You got to get out of bed and you got to go to church. That's the final thing. Give me one good reason. Those people don't like me down there. I don't want to go. Those people don't like me at that church. I'm not going. Give me one good reason why I should get out of bed and go to church. Honey, because you're the pastor. Now get out of bed. Hallelujah. We all fight with that flesh, don't we? Everybody say, I'm committed to do God's will. I don't care how much it costs. I'm committed to God's will. I'm telling you, the communists were a committed bunch of people. And they're still out there. It's not like they're over with. But I read a letter once, I wish I had that, where this communist guy had written his fiancée who had chosen not to be communist. And in this letter, the commitment level would put most free people to shame. And I'm certainly not endorsing communism. But the commitment, he talked about that he was committed. He thought about it when he got up. He thought about it during the day. He thought about communist doctrine when he went to bed. He couldn't relate to another person without thinking and relating the principles of communism. He says, and based on this, because of your choice, I am breaking off our relationship because I am more committed to communism than any other cause in the earth. Now you compare that to the level of some Christians and it's sickening. You know, whether God promised blessings or not, we ought to be giving tithes and offerings because we want to advance the cause of Christ, period. Because we believe in sending missionaries around the world and equipping them with the tools they need. Somebody say amen?
Amen.
Commitment level. Now, I got good news and I got bad news. I'm going to give you the good news first. The good news is this. Anybody can move to the next level. Say amen.
Amen.
Anybody can move up to the next level because God desires to move you to the next level. That's the good news. The bad news or the sad news is that not everyone will move to the next level. Well, why is that? Write this thought down. Because of internal forces. That's your number one enemy. It's not the external forces like we all tend to think. Well, you know, Pastor, I would have done that, but the devil. Well, send the devil back to hell. Hallelujah. Use the name of Jesus and use the Word of God and you've got authority over the devil. The devil this, the devil that. Don't be blaming everything on the devil. The thing that is the greatest enemy are the internal forces of what the Bible calls self. The big I. The middle letter of sin is what? I. And the internal forces, write this reference down, and I'm painting a backdrop before I give you some step-by-steps on how to get yourself to the next level with God's grace. But I want you to write this reference down. I don't want to turn there because it would take too much time, but Luke chapter 14, you'll remember this parable that Jesus told. Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 15, is a list of excuses as to why people could not come to this great banquet that the Master had prepared. And if you remember the story, Jesus told this parable about this great lord or this great ruler who had prepared this banquet, this great supper. And he sent his emissaries out to invite all the people now to come to this great feast. And the clincher of the parable is it says, and they all with one consent began to make excuses why they could not come. And you'll remember that. And there's three excuses that are listed in that particular parable, but they're by no means the only excuses. The first one, the guy says, bid me have excuse from the party because I've just bought a piece of property. Now, you know, there's nothing wrong with buying property. Nothing wrong with real estate. But watch this. When it takes precedence over the bidding of God to come and do His will, suddenly anything can become an idol. You getting this? And so, it's not that God's against buying property. It's God's against you putting something that says, Lord, excuse me, I can't come. I got to take care of this deal first. Then I might think about it. Sorry, the party's over then. So don't assume that you can assume to move to the next level at your will. When God begins drawing, you better move Him or you might miss the timing. The second excuse, the first one was I bought property in that parable. The second excuse is the guy said, I've bought oxen. Well, that'd be like somebody saying, I've bought a John Deere tractor today. Or I've bought a set of tools, or I've bought this and that to make my income. Nothing wrong with the oxen, nothing wrong with the John Deere tractor. But again, it goes back to priorities in life. And the thing that will cause us to miss the bidding of the Lord to the next level is when we begin to make excuses with things that really aren't even sin, but they're out of order. Oh, here's a good one. The third guy said this, I can't come to the party because I just got married. Got married. Well, God's not against marriage. In fact, God created the institution of marriage. And this will fly in the face of some folks who want to put, you know, everything above God. I'm telling you, you've got to have your spouse submitted below God. You've got to worship God more than your spouse, because as much as I love Martha, and we're coming up on our 25th wedding anniversary, hallelujah, and we'll be leaving the city 3 days and three nights. We're going to be chasing one another. Hallelujah. 25th wedding anniversary. But you know what? There's got to be a realization in my heart that that woman is on loan to me. She belongs to God. And if the Lord tarries, we will die. And we'll go back to God. I've got to put God first. She's got to put God first. I believe I'll just live forever. Amen. But if something happens to me, she's going to go on with God. And until a family comes to that realization that God is over, even family, it can cause you to miss the next level. Let me just throw some other excuses at you that we know these all too well, don't we? And again, none of these are bad. I'm not saying any of these are bad. Another one I've heard people say is, well, we've just had a baby. Just had a baby, so we can't come to church for probably a year or two. Well, I think when a person has a baby, they ought to back up and take some time off and kind of, you know, get adjusted and acclimated. But how many of you know there's a difference between a sabbatical and going AWOL? Pastor, I'm on sabbatical. You've been on sabbatical for 18 months. Now listen, in the military, they will give you leave, but, you know, if you don't show back up on base, they will send the MP after you. Military police. Because, you know, you've enjoyed your little sabbatical, but now it's time to report for duty. Everybody say report for duty. And I know some people, when they have children, it's like their whole life stops around children. The guy that married us, that performed the ceremony, Bill Sanders, he gave us some great wisdom. He said, listen, when you have children, he said, you put them in one of those little carriers, kind of like Dana's got them, they put them in one of those little carriers, just take them with you. Take them to church, take them with you where you go. In other words, fit them into your lifestyle instead of you fitting into their lifestyle. Did you get that? You fit them into your lifestyle instead of you changing your lifestyle. Well, you know, that would be kind of interesting. Instead of military police, ministry police, MP. Go knocking on people's door on Sunday morning. Where are you? Report for duty. Wouldn't be good for membership, though, I realize that. Oh, here's another good excuse. Man, Lord, I would go to the next level, but Lord, you got to understand, I've had a hard week. I've been stressed. And so, you know, I just hadn't felt led. In fact, Lord, you ought to come to this job sometime. Yeah, he ought to. Did you get that? Slipped that one in on you, didn't I? Oh, here's another excuse. You know, I would really help the Lord's work and do things, but you have to understand, I've been wounded in the past. I've been wounded in the past. In fact, I've been wounded by churches in the past. And because of that, that's my right to stay out of churches and stay home and fellowship with the TV. Well, I'm nothing wrong with television ministries. In fact, we might get on television one day, or radio ministries. But the only problem is that's a little bit artificial. Because you know what? The TV set won't rub you the wrong way. The only place that you can apply the principles of God's Word is in the body of Christ, where you have to work with others that might rub you the wrong way. Suddenly, forgiveness is more than theoretical, isn't it? Suddenly, forbearance is more than just what the guy said in the seminar. It's like, man, I can't stand that person, but I love him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. On and on you go. The thought is this. Write this down, and then I'm going to give you 10 steps, 10 keys to get to the next level. Now I have to go rapid fire through these. But here, to summarize it, here's the whole thought here. You'll never get to the next level unless you want to. You'll never get to the next level unless you want to. How bad do you want it? Do you want it bad enough to change some things in your life? Do you want it bad enough to change some priorities in your life? It's kind of like when you go into the hospital, they will not treat you unless you sign a document called a letter of consent, where you've got to agree to it. And you know, God will not drag anybody to the next level against their will. And I've seen this even in counseling. Many times people that come that want counseling, they really don't want to change. They just want to verbalize their difficulties, and that helps them have some release of the pressure. But very few people will go out and just say, you know what, I'm going to work at this. I'll work at my marriage, or I'm going to work at my character development. I'm going to change some things in my life because I'm tired, sick and tired of this level I've been on. I want to go to the next level. When a person finally gets sick and tired of being sick and tired and they make up their mind, Lord, I want your will and I'm willing to work at it, they'll get to the next level. That's the good news. You'll get to the next level. Amen? Now, I could take you to references on each one of these, but we'd be here forever. So, rapid fire. I want to go through these. Some I will give more comment to than others. But I want to give you 10 keys for moving to the next level. And I believe this is a great way to summarize our series on supernatural goal setting. Because, again, if you're going to set goals with God, the intent should be to fulfill what God is doing in your life and move you to the next level. But there's 10 keys for moving to the next level. Now, as I give these, I'm going to tell you what I have in mind. When I developed these and rewrote some of these, I had my life in mind. And I had my life as a 20-year evangelist who God, some years ago, started working in my heart about shifting and planting this local work. I mean, for 13 years, we had leased office space we did not own. And so, I mean, it was a tremendous shift, and it has been an adjustment to go from just a strictly traveling road ministry to establishing a place like this, believing God for local people to begin to come, developing leadership and all that has to happen. And I had that in mind. So this isn't just theory I'm throwing at you. What I'm getting ready to give you is something I believe I've just walked through and am still in the midst of, and I think it's good handles for you. Number one, here's the first key for moving to the next level. You have to think big things while doing small things. That's important. If you're ever going to get to the next level, you have to start thinking big things while doing small things. In other words, you may not be happy with your present job, but you just can't snap your finger and get to the next job. You've got to still be faithful where you're at. So let's say that you're at a job that you think is kind of a dead-end job, or the environment is not good, is not wholesome, and you just feel like the Lord is wanting you to change gears. You've still got to be faithful in what you might think is little or menial task while you're beginning to dream about what could be. What could be? The same is true regarding the home. You know, you may not like the apartment that you live in and the neighbors next door to you that make a lot of noise, but you just can't let your apartment go to pot and you're not going to clean up and you just let down. God says, I want you to be faithful in small things while you're dreaming about the next level, the big things. When we started our ministry, we started with, I told you this, with a Chevette faith. Hallelujah. And I've had people come up. In fact, I had one guy come up with his wife, and he said, you know, I think I'm supposed to go into the evangelistic ministry. And his wife said, well, we would do it if we had a plane like you to fly around in. I said, that's not where you start. You start with a Chevette. And I said, it may not be God's will for you to have an airplane. Not everybody's really cut out for that. I said, but you know, you don't start there. You don't start in the prayer tower. You know, Oral Roberts has got a prayer tower. He doesn't just sit up there praying all day. He's got teams of people that are in there praying. Ooh, I could be an evangelist if I had a prayer tower above the hustle and the bustle. Yeah, are you willing to drag a tent around for 20 years like that guy did on the Sawdust Trail, preaching in little towns and being run out of some towns? Being labeled holy roller, this and that? You're out there trying to preach the good news of Jesus Christ? Well, I'm not sure I want that. You getting this? So you apply it to your life, but it's true. You've got to think big things while doing small things. Number two, a second key that will help you. You got to think possibilities instead of problems. Oh, this is a biggie. You got to start thinking possibilities instead of problems. See, most of us focus on problems, don't we? Well, I would go to college, but you got to understand, I don't have any money to go to college. If I had the money to go to college, I'd go to college. Hey, I'd start that business if I had some money to kind of kick the deal off, but I don't have any startup money, therefore I can't start my business. Well, I would do this, I would do that. They're focused on the problems instead of the possibilities. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, it's possible. Sometimes you just need to do that to yourself. You just need to drive around in your car and you're thinking about it, just go, well, it's possible. In fact, Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. I remember standing in line at Oral Roberts University at graduation, and we were all in our cap and gowns, you know, and this kind of thing, trying to figure out which side that tassel goes on. And there was a lady standing there, or a young girl standing there, and she was getting ready to graduate as a nurse. And so I struck up a conversation with her, and she was graduating as a nurse, and I said, I guess your family's here. She goes, no, my parents are dead. And that kind of caught my attention, you know. I was like, well, how'd you, you know, get to school and become a nurse? She said, when I was young, my daddy had left and abandoned us and so forth like that. And so I was raised by my mom until got towards high school. Then my mom was diagnosed with cancer and died with cancer. And the boys got my curiosity up because private school is expensive. I said, well, how did you come to this school? And she said, well, I would just lay in bed every night. I was living with friends and different people. And she said, I'd just lay in bed every night and I just would picture myself as a nurse. She said, I just see myself in the nurse's uniform. And I saw myself with a medication tray serving the patients. And she said, every night when I go to bed, I just say, Jesus, I just thank you that you're going to make a way for me to go to nursing school. She said, and before long, I found out about Oral Roberts University. I said, Jesus, I just thank you for a way that I can go to Oral Roberts University and become a nurse. I said, well, it's awfully expensive. How did you do it? She said, well, there was a businessman that found out about my situation at my church. She said, you know, I was faithful in church. I went to church. Mom wasn't there to tell me to go to church. Dad wasn't there, but I went to church. She said, I just trusted in God. So there's a businessman that found out about it, and he paid my whole way. Wrote one check. Cut the check. Everybody say, cut the check. This guy cut the check and paid for her 4 years, 4-year registered nursing degree, and he and some of the friends were there from the church. I'll tell you, it's an awesome story. That a young girl, against all odds, thought possibilities instead of the problems. Number three, if you're going to move to the next level, you got to think long term instead of short term. Oh, this is a biggie. You got to start thinking long term instead of short term. Did you know most people go through life merely reacting to events instead of planning? Most people go through life just reacting to stuff that's thrown at them, and if you could kind of chart their course, they're just bouncing kind of like a pinball. Bounce here, oh, that knocked me over here, now I'm over here. Instead of thinking long term, where am I going? Where does God want me to go? I want to ask you some questions. Where do you want to be 1 year from now? Are you happy with where you live, for instance? Are you happy with the way your relationship's going with your spouse or with your children? Where do you want to be in 3 years? Where do you want to be in 5 years? You got to start thinking like that. Think long term instead of short term. One of the things that they first begin to talk to you about when you're taking your flying training is they say this phrase to you. They say, stay ahead of the airplane. Well, the first time they said that, Jason, stay ahead of the airplane. I was like, the propeller's out in front of the airplane, and I don't want to stay out in front of the airplane. And he said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. You've got to anticipate down the road according to your speed. So I'll give you, for instance, if I'm flying from Atlanta to Jacksonville, Florida, which is a place I go fairly frequently because we're on the radio in that city. If I'm flying, let's say, at pick an altitude, let's say I'm flying at 12,000 feet, 11,000 feet going to Jacksonville, and maybe I have a tailwind like I had the other day and I'm going 250 miles an hour at 11,000 feet, you don't wait until you pass over Jacksonville before you start coming down. If you're familiar with geography, the Atlantic Ocean is out there. And so here I'm zipping along at 250 miles an hour, and maybe it's even instrument conditions. You can't see the ground, but all of a sudden one of your instruments tells you you've just passed over Jacksonville. You're still going 250 miles an hour at 11,000 feet. You're getting ready to have a Bahama tour. You're getting ready to go to the Caribbean or something. You're way out in the Atlantic. You getting this? You gotta think long term in your life instead of short term. So I have to plan my descent. I have to slow the plane down, pull back on the throttle, eventually drop some flaps, break this thing up here a little bit, come on around. Everybody say, stay ahead of the airplane. And you apply that to your life. You got to anticipate. That's a very important key for your life, is you have to anticipate. And it's not just anticipating in the natural. In prayer, you're anticipating, Lord, what would you have me to do in a year? What would you have me to do or be in 2 years or 5 years? And you're thinking long term instead of short term. What number am I on now? Thank you. Number four. Think team spirit instead of self. Oh, this is a big one. Think team spirit instead of self. If you're ever going to get to the next level, you can't do it alone. I said you can't do it alone. It's like new mothers that have children. They really ought to develop some friendships with other women who are a few steps ahead of them. Learn from them. Somebody going into business, he needs to develop some relationships, you see, with someone who's been down that path before. Why reinvent the wheel? Think, build a team around you of friends and contacts that you can associate with that'll help take you to the next level. Most people stay associating with losers and wonder why they're not getting to the next level. And the greatest team, write this down as a subpoint, the greatest team that you can have on your side is the body of Christ. You need to be in a church like this one. I said like this one. God may not have you here. There's many good churches in the area, but we believe this, that God, if you're a Christian, we believe that God has a local body for you to be plugged into. And it needs to be a place that teaches the positive message of Jesus Christ. It's a shame that you even have to say it that way, because the word gospel means good news. But some churches, you go and they just give you a spanking every Sunday. You need to go into a place that will teach the positive message of Jesus Christ and that believes in the power of the Holy Spirit, that has worship, people that will help you reach your potential in God. They're not just interested in using you and abusing you. They're interested in giving you information that will help propel you forward in life. That's the kind of church I want to go to. I wouldn't give you a hoot for going to one of those churches that wants to whip you every Sunday and then make you pay for it on the way out. I just soon sit at home and watch the Looney Tunes. I'm just being as serious as I can be. Bugs Bunny would be better than that. You got to think team spirit instead of self. If you're having difficulties in your marriage, for instance, one of the best things you can do is associate with marriages that are stable. Instead of sitting around trying to analyze, you'll get yourself, your brain tied in a knot trying to analyze what's wrong with your relationship. Be around somebody who's stable. And what that'll do is you'll just pick stuff up without even trying. You'll just pick stability up. Because in essence, things are more caught than taught. And sometimes I think, and I'm certainly not picking on the people in the mental health field, because there are people that need counseling. There are people that need at times medication as a temporary intervention to help them. But I think we do a disservice by putting people that are mentally troubled around other people that are mentally troubled, and they need to be around some stable environments. Because so often they grew up in a dysfunctional home because their parents didn't know any better, and they picked up so much of that stuff, and they need to be around some people that are doing the stuff. and they'll just pick it up. Number five. You get anything out of this? Put a star by number five, because I bet you this will be the hardest one on the list for you. I just bet money this will be the hardest one on the list for you. Number five. You'll never get to the next level unless you're willing to give up old friends and make new friends. You will never get to the next level, whatever that is for your life, unless you're willing to give up old friends and make new friends. Why? Because the old friends may not want to go to the next level. In fact, the old friends don't think you deserve to go to the next level. Come on. And I'm not trying to pick on anyone. I'm just trying to apply it to different situations. But, you know, if you've got a neighbor that's happy to live in a government project housing, and there's nothing wrong with living in that. I mean, if that's where you're at and you're starting there, but don't be content with that. Don't be content with that. And they just feel like, hey, this is where we're going to stay the rest of our life. But you have a dream in your heart of starting a business and becoming a productive person in society and being able to own your own land one day, your own home one day. Then you've got to make some friends who believe the same way and break out of those thought processes. If your old friends don't think, you know, you need to go to college and you want to go to college, I'm just here to tell you, you're going to have to let go of some of your old friends and get around some people who think college. And not everybody needs to go to college, but you get the point. Wherever God is taking you, you need to find people that believe in that level, that will help propel you to that next level. Do you remember the mistake you made when you first got baptized in the Holy Spirit and you told all your relatives? You won't do that again, will you? Oh, let me tell you what happened. I went forward and the pastor laid hands on me in the power of God. And they're sitting there, they don't understand a thing you're saying. And the power of God came on me, and I'm telling you, just the anointing, the anointing was flowing through me, and suddenly a heavenly language was coming out of my mouth that was glorious. And they're looking at you like you're from outer space. They're like, you mean you're one of those holy rollers? They didn't hear a thing you said. They just like, you're one of them? Oh, did I mess up on that one? Dear Jesus. I told you about, you know, in high school, I was dating a girl that I thought was the one. Martha was dating a guy that she thought was the one. And thank God we finally, by the grace of God, made the right decisions and met each other. But I was trying to impress this girl. This kind of cinched the breakup, if you want to know the truth. I'd gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know. I mean, I'd grown up Presbyterian all my life. I thought I'd come a million miles by going to her Baptist church. You know what I'm saying? Finally, I got saved and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I tapped on the shoulder in one class at Georgia Southern. Before I went to Oral Roberts University, I was at Georgia Southern for 2 years. I tapped her on the shoulder and said, guess what happened to me? I thought she'd be, you know, excited. She was horrified. She said, what? I said, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and I'm praying tongues now. And she went, what's that? Well, duh me. I go, Bore Sunday, Bangachi, start speaking in tongues right there. Her eyes got about this big. She turned around and never looked back. Actually, that might have been God that I did that, if you want to know the truth. Because, honey, the dance was over after that deal. And I can remember feeling so lonely. My Christian friends, I'm talking about my Christian friends. My Christian friends ostracized me. That was kind of a new thing back, see, this kind of dates me, back in 71. And I mean, it pressed me into God. And I look back and I'm amazed that I did it. I'm amazed that I left. I mean, we're talking about a Georgia boy who had never left hardly, you know, Georgia, transferring and going to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I remember I told my grandmother, and she said, why would you want to go to a foreign country? She did. She didn't know Oklahoma was in the United States. I'm like, that's the truth. I'm not making that up. We were in the little rocking chair, and I said, I'm going to leave here and go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Why would you want to go to a foreign country? Hallelujah. And I look back, and I'm telling you, it was a combination of, yeah, I had to want to change. I had to want to change. But I'm telling you, by only the grace of God working in me could I change. Number six, if you want to move to the next level, you must pray in the Spirit over the next level. You must pray in the Spirit over the next level. There's two basic ways to pray in the Spirit. You may want to put these as subpoints, A and B. I believe that when we pray God's Word, we are praying in the Spirit. Because the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. Well, if the Word of God is the will of God, in fact it is, then if I pray the Word over that situation, then I am praying according to the perfect will of God. Am I not? Of course, the second way is to pray in tongues or with your heavenly language, your spiritual language over it. Why would you want to do that? Because your mind doesn't know how to pray as it ought. Your mind is limited. And this is a mystery. A lot of people say, well, I don't know why I'd want to speak in tongues if I don't understand it. That's why. Because you don't know everything there is to know about leaving Georgia Southern and going to Tulsa, Oklahoma. But the Holy Spirit can pray ahead of you. The Holy Spirit can pray through you with a language that, unless the Lord gives you an interpretation, you don't understand normally. And you are praying by the Spirit for things that your brain doesn't know about. It's awesome. It's an awesome gift that God has made available. Now, yes, I've seen it abused and misused and so forth like that, but you don't throw the baby out because the bathwater's dirty. You see? And so the gifts of the Holy Spirit are very important. So you take the next level, whatever that is, the thought of the next level, you pray the Word of God over it, and you also, if you have a release of your prayer language, pray in the Spirit over it and ask God to pray for it in ways that you cannot understand. Number seven. If you want to get to the next level, do something to release your faith for the next level. Oh, that is so important. Do something to release your faith for the next level. You may want to just summarize this with a little footnote. Put faith actions. You got to do something. Well, I'm interested in that school, but I don't have the money. We're going to think possibilities. All things are possible. And if the Lord's dealing with you on this school, couldn't you at least call the 1-800 number and request an application package? That's something. Something to release your faith. And so it's no longer just inside. There's some faith action taking place. Do you remember that story where Jesus' sermon was interrupted? He's standing in the house. Man, he's cooking, man. He's preaching the Word. It says he preached the Word to them. And all of a sudden the roof is being torn up. Do you remember that? I mean, how would you like that to happen? It's like, point three. Guys, hey, I'm only on point three. And all of a sudden, here comes this bed. Do you remember the story? The paralyzed guy being let down. Jesus, here's what it says. Jesus looked up and saw their faith. Well, let me ask you that question. How do you see faith? I mean, you can't like put on, you know, goggles and see, oh yeah, I see a bunch of faith in there. Atomic faith. You'll see faith by how people act. You'll see doubt by how people act. So you see somebody taking steps in the face of adversity. Somebody like a little girl laying on her bed at night dreaming about being a nurse and writing off and getting catalogs. That's faith in action. And you're doing something to release your faith into the world so God can in fact begin to do it and bring it to pass. Number eight. If you want to get to the next level, you must refocus your priorities. You must refocus your priorities to line up with the next level. You must refocus your priorities to line up with the next level. You got to cut out some fluff. We all have a busy schedule, but does it line up? Ask yourself this question. Is what I'm doing, is it lining up with where I'm going? I'm not saying what you're doing is wrong, but it might be holding you back. So case in point. I told you when I put these together, I had in my thinking our transition from a strictly traveling ministry to having a local congregation. And so, where the rubber hits the road is it sounds good and it sounds great, until I looked at my calendar. Now, I used to stay booked a year ahead, realizing there would be cancellations and adjustments and things like that. So I'd be booked a year ahead, and I'm talking about I'd go out 45 times a year. 45 times a year. I mean, I'd like to be home on Christmas and things like that. Amen? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know, be home on Christmas. And so I looked at my calendar. I mean, you know, I looked busier than some angels looked. And so my priorities were going to have to be readjusted if, in fact, I believed in my heart God wanted us to find a facility, locate a facility, get a facility, trust God for local meetings, on and on you go. All of a sudden, I had to start changing some priorities. And that's hard. That's hard. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you, and if this offends you, then I just pray God will give you grace to forgive me. Amen? But I'm just going to kind of open up some flesh here. I know y'all never think like this because y'all are sanctified and you're so holy with God. But part of that schedule represented my livelihood, my income. You say, well, weren't you led at all those places? Well, some I was and some I didn't have any feeling about it. I just had a call or a booking and I went. So don't judge me. Let me ask you, do you feel led every morning when you get out of bed to go to your job? So don't be putting on a preacher what you don't got. Yeah, you feel led to stay home. I know that's what you feel led to. Sometimes I feel led to, you know, stay home. But I go. I thought, man, I can't mess too many people up preaching the word. Amen. That's the way I thought about it. Well, brother, what if you weren't supposed to be there? Well, I mean, you know, I just preach the word. That's all I'm doing. So it's like, you're not going to mess too many people up. So I looked at that calendar and I thought, man, you know, if I start cutting out half, what if I cut out half? Well, that represents a certain portion of my livelihood and paying for the overhead of the ministry and radio broadcasts. And well, what are we going to do about the other half? And all of a sudden, there's something called, write it down, the faith zone. Kind of like the twilight zone. Everybody say the faith zone. You have just entered the faith zone. Where you begin to look at your priorities, begin to readjust your priorities. It may not all punch out on the calculator, but you got a witness in your heart. I'm supposed to go for this. There's going to be some risk involved, but I feel confident God can do it. I'll cooperate with God and it'll work. I'm going to refocus my priorities. Number nine. Make your devotional time with God. The ninth key for moving to the next level. Make your devotional time with God your number one priority each day. Make your devotional time with God your number one priority each day. Let me flip that around and give you the reverse. I think one of the most destructive things that you can do to your life is to not be in fellowship with God through the day. Why? You're cutting yourself off from the very source that's going to take you to the next level. Write this reference down. We won't turn there. Many of you can quote it. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. And I'll paraphrase it. He says basically to Joshua, you want to get to the next level, Joshua? You want to get to the promised land? Hey, buddy, you want to go there and take the nation with you? Then you're going to have to meditate in my word on a regular basis, day and night. You're going to have to observe it. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to put it in your mouth and speak it. Because the forces of fear and those giants will scare the willies right out of you. And so you're going to have to stay in my face. And if you're in my face, then you'll prosper. If you're in my face, then you'll have good success. That's Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. To do contrary to that is to cut yourself off from the very source that's going to get you there. And by your devotions, I do believe God would have us to have a time where we sit down, open the Bible, and read the Word. It's not just always fellowshipping on the go, though we should be doing that. But every one of us could squeeze in 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. Even if it's the last thing you do, you're ready to go to bed, keep your Bible by your bed, open it up and read in the Word of God. Why? Because the Word will come in and challenge you, wash you, heal you. The last thing you think about maybe before you go to bed is God's Word instead of all the problems you're going to face the next day. How many of you have ever done that? Then you toss and you turn. Make your devotional time with God your number one priority each day. The tenth one, and I'm sure you can add many more, but these are like Dave Letterman's top ten, okay? This is Jason Beeble's top ten here. Number ten, commit yourself and recommit yourself. Commit yourself and recommit yourself to God's direction. Now, why did I put that one in there? Because along the way, there will be many opportunities for you to quit. Commit yourself and recommit yourself to God's direction. Here you are. You're embarking on whatever it is the Lord's moving you to the next level. How many of you know as soon as you start into that, fear will try to hit you? You better recommit. How many of you know that the devil will send along some old friends to talk to you? Old friends. Old priorities. Your flesh. Comfort. On and on you go. Your old boyfriend. Your old girlfriend. Somebody coming along to try to talk you out of God's best. I had a person ask me once one time, they said, have you ever felt like quitting the ministry? I was like, I think they were thinking like a spiritual answer, like, oh, why no? Never. I said, well, I've kind of lost count. You know, I don't care what you do, you're gonna have days where you feel like quitting. Even when it's God's will. If you're an honest person, there's gonna be days where your flesh is just, I'm just tired of this. I don't need this. There are other ways to make a living. Come on. And then you go to the bottom line. Everybody say the bottom line. And the bottom line is very different than the business world. The bottom line in the kingdom of God is this. Is this God's will? The bottom line in the kingdom of God is one question. Is this God's will? Not how you feel about it. Not what you think about it. Not what level of income or livelihood you have. The bottom line is this God's will? And then if it's God's will, you may feel like quitting, but you don't. Jesus told a story about two guys that said, I'll do it, and he didn't. And one that said, I'm not, and he did. He said, who did the will of God? The one who said, I'm not, but he did. So often, our minds will go in one direction, but our heart goes in the right direction. Thank God he works with us. Amen. One final verse to throw at you. Write this down. Luke 9:51. Luke 9, chapter 9, verse 51. Interesting verse. It says, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. And if you read that, the disciples got nervous. They're like, wait a minute, Jesus. I mean, they're kind of upset with you over there in Jerusalem. We got plenty of other cities to go to. Jesus, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, I mean, they're probably not in the mood to have Jesus' ministry truck come into town. Jesus said, you guys don't understand. I'm going to Jerusalem to be crucified. Not so, Lord. Never. Yep. That's the will of the Father. They thought he was speaking in symbolism. Dying to self or something like that. That verse says, Jesus set his face. I want to ask you, have you set your face for the will of God? Have you set your face to the next level? Whatever the cost. That's the question. All you have to do is say yes, and God will flood you with his grace to help you. Because you can't get to the next level unless he take you there. Father, we thank you for what your word is teaching us through this series on goal setting. Lord, thank you for the practicality of the word of God. Thank you that you're a God that's for us and not against us. And that you're a God who believes in taking us to the next level. Let's stand up.